Welcome to the North Central Baptist Church podcast. We hope you're challenged by the message from our pastor.
I want you to take your Bible and open your Bible to Genesis chapter 12. Did you see the film End of the Spear? The End of the Spear was based upon the true story of five American missionaries, Nate Saint, Jim Elliott, Roger Udarian, Pete Fleming, and Ed McCulley, and their quest to get the gospel to the savage Alca Indians in Ecuador. Each of these men were married. Some of them had little children. But they believed it was God's call upon their life to take the gospel to those Alca Indians in Ecuador. It was in January of 1956, and they made their first contact with the Alcas. They began dropping gifts outside of the, Nate Saint had a plane, and they began dropping gifts out to the Alcas in order to establish a friendship with those Alca Indians. After they had felt that they laid the groundwork, they landed the plane at a place they titled Palm Beach. It was along the Curay River in Ecuador. On January the 6th, 1956, they made their first contact with the Alca Indians on that beach. On the 8th, they were hoping that there would be another contact. And so they radioed back to their families and they said, "Pray, because we believe today is the day we're going to be able to share with these people about the Lord." Sometime between 2:30 and 4:30 on that day, January the 8th, 1956, the Alcas came and they speared them. The movie was entitled The End of the Spear. This coming January is the 53rd anniversary of the deaths of those five men. This has been such a powerful story in my life and the lives of others. There has been a harvest of men from a previous generation that God use this story to challenge them to completely and totally sell out to Jesus Christ. Among those men are several that you would recognize. One of them is Chuck Swindoll, who talks about the impact of this story upon his life. Jim Elliott made this statement. He said, "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose." All of the events of that story in January of 1956 were recorded in Life magazine, the January 30th edition of that year. I have a 50th anniversary copy of that Life magazine. I wish I could show it to you. It was a reprint of all the articles that were written, and pictures were there. In the movie, they told how that the missionary wives stayed and continued their missions work. How that Rachel Saint and Elizabeth Elliott and her daughter Valerie eventually went and lived with the Alca Indians. And they shared with them about Jesus Christ. The Alca said they had never known love in that way. All they had known was killing. And they said for the first time they faced people that forgave. And they ended up coming to Jesus Christ. When those men were killed, they sent a military group into Ecuador to find out what happened, a search and a rescue party, and they went in there. They brought back word to those wives that their husbands had been killed. And the article said that those wives gathered and they stood and they sang a hymn. Why is it that people can be that committed to missions? I want to preach today briefly about God's worldwide enterprise. The first thing I want to say about it is this. You have to know God's heart, which is global missions. In Genesis chapter 12, all the way back in Genesis chapter 12, and in verse 3, the Word of God says this, I will bless those who bless you. God is speaking to Abram. He says, I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And then he makes this statement, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. The word bless there means to kneel. It means to bless God. The word families, all the families of the earth shall be blessed in you. The word families there means people groups. You know, we used to organize missions around countries. We'd say, you're a missionary in this particular country. But today we realize that God is after people groups, and people groups don't necessarily separate by boundaries in nations. There may be people groups in multiple countries, but missionaries go to reach a people group. And God said his heart was that Abraham would be used to reach the nations, to reach the families, that all the families in the world might be blessed in you. Isaiah chapter 49, verse 6 says this, I will also give thee for a light to the nations, that thou mayest be my salvation unto the ends of the earth. Do you hear the heart of God for global missions in the Scripture? Luke chapter 19, verse 10, the Bible says this, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. And ladies and gentlemen, really in our nation, it is Christmas every day, as Mr. Cheshire shared. Do you know that 90% of the world's resources are basically spent on 10% of the people? Do you know that in Asia, there are 40 of the 50 largest mega cities of the world that are in Asia? And many millions of those people are not reached with the gospel of Jesus Christ. God's heart is global missions. Spurgeon used to preach about the hounds of heaven. The hounds of heaven are after lost people. And can I tell you this, ladies and gentlemen, as we get closer to Jesus as a church, as we get closer to Jesus as individuals, then God will put on our heart those that need Christ. It's the heart of God, global missions. Here's what can happen. In November of 1999, a missionary in Asia shared the gospel with 30 farmers. As a result, in 2 months, there were 20 house churches that were begun. This man was planting churches in Asia. There were 20 house churches that were begun in just 2 months. In 4 months, there were 327 churches that had been started as a result, and there were 4,000 people that had been baptized. By the end of year one, there were 908 churches. In mid-2003, it was reported that there were 9,300 churches that were begun out of that movement. There were 104,000 people baptized in Asia, in that area of the world, because this missionary planted those 20 churches in homes. You see, ladies and gentlemen, God's purpose is not primarily medical, although he wants to meet the needs physically of people. It's not primarily agriculture. It's not primarily social. It's not primarily political. It's not primarily educational. But it is primarily spiritual. God's heartbeat is global missions. Second thing quickly, God's method is obedient believers. I want you to take your Bibles and turn it over to Matthew chapter 28, to a very familiar verse of Scripture. We call this the Great Commission. God's method. What is God's method in his worldwide enterprise? It is obedient believers. The Scripture says, go therefore, Jesus said to his disciples, and go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Jesus Christ gave this challenge to his followers. He said in John 20:21, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. We must pass the gospel along to the next generation. Historian Will Durant says that we are one generation from extinction of Christianity if we do not get busy in passing the baton of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So we must take the gospel to the people. And what is God's method? It is obedient believers. I heard the story told of a man who got a burden for his village, and he was a long way from there, and he walked on his feet for miles and miles and miles in the hot sun, and he finally arrived, and he went into the village square exhausted, and he began to stand and preach to all the people there about Jesus Christ, and the people mocked him. He was so discouraged. They mocked him. He had gone all that distance to share with them about Christ, but they mocked him, and so he went out to the edge of town. He lay down. He was so exhausted, and he fell asleep, and when he woke up, the people were all there. The whole village. And the leader of the village was there, and he said, "What are you doing? Why are you all here?" He said, "Well, we knew that you had a message to tell us, and we knew it was real when we saw your bleeding feet." In his obedience, that man's feet were bleeding because of his walking that distance, and as a result, the people realized this man has a message. You know, when Jim Elliot and those men went to Ecuador, they had guns. And someone asked them, "Will you be prepared?" Because the Alcas were savage people. Said, "Will you be prepared to use your weapons?" And Elliot told the folks, he said, "Listen, we're not going to use our guns." He said, "We're ready to meet Jesus in eternity. The Alcas are not. So we're not going to take their lives." God's method is obedient believers. Thirdly, man's distraction is the pleasures of this world. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, I want you to take your Bibles and just turn over there. I want you to see this one verse of Scripture. In 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 10, the Scripture says this: "For Demas," this was someone who was in the group with Paul, he says, "For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and has departed for Thessalonica." You see, there comes a point in life, ladies and gentlemen, when sometimes we get distracted because of the pleasures of this world. Romans 12 says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world." That means to be pressed into its mold. There was a researcher at the University of North Carolina in Chapel Hill that kind of dubbed this generation as the iPod generation. He wrote a big article about the iPod generation. And in that article, he said that one of the reasons that we love the iPod, and by the way, I have one, and my kids have them and everything, and you probably have one. But he said one of the reasons we love it is because we get to pick what's on it. You know, in the old days, you bought a CD, and you had to get it all. You may only like one song on it, but when you bought it, you bought the whole thing. And you had the songs you didn't like. But one reason that they like the iPod is they can put on there what they like and they can play what they like. And basically what he said is in the world of Christianity that our faith in Christ is just like that iPod. We are picking and choosing the parts of walking with Christ that we like. And the hard things, the challenging things, the difficult tasks, the sacrificial tasks, we reject. We don't load them on our iPod of Christianity because we have an iPod generation. Religion is just one product to consume. You know that this Ashley Simpson was the daughter of a Baptist youth pastor. Did you know that? She made a statement one time. She said, "I used to ask, what would Jesus do? Now I may ask a Buddhist." Ladies and gentlemen, we are amused to infinity almost in our society. Matter of fact, Neil Postman wrote a book in which he says that we are the one generation at risk of amusing ourselves to death. We have the largest amusement park market in the world. $10.8 billion are spent just trying to amuse ourselves. Let me just say this. Balance your life and don't get caught in that trap to realize that you may be on God's agenda to take the gospel and to give your resources sacrificially that the gospel may go forth. So the last thing, and I'm closing with this, is your opportunity, a cause worth living for. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, you can flip back to that scripture. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, the scripture says this, "Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may run swiftly and be glorified just as it has with you." One of the things you can do is pray. Another thing we can do is we can give. We've been talking about giving. Mr. Cheshire talked about giving, about sacrificing to give to this Lottie Moon Christmas offering. You know, our goal in our church is $16,000 that we could give to Lottie Moon. And I pray that we would reach that goal. You know, at one time, this church gave $49,000 to Lottie Moon. I heard the college students gave $10,000 to Lottie Moon one time because it got on our hearts. And I pray that we would give. So what is our opportunity? Our opportunity is to pray. We need to be in prayer for our missionaries. Number two, we need to give. The other thing is you may be challenged to go. I want to challenge the people of our church. Take an opportunity to go on a short-term mission trip. It will change your perspective about life. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, "But ye shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth." Jim Elliot and that group went to Ecuador, and they were martyred. A great harvest of spiritual men was raised up that many of us are the recipients of their commitment to Christ because they saw that commitment in the lives of those missionaries that were slain in Ecuador. May the 10th, 1998 was a special day in the Carr home. It was Mother's Day. Our church had invited Elizabeth Elliot, the wife of Jim Elliot, who was martyred there in Ecuador, to be their guest at the church. That day, the leaders there asked Kelly if we wanted to host Elizabeth Elliot in our home. Can you imagine? Elizabeth Elliot was one of Kelly's heroes, and she had read about every book she'd ever written. And so we thought, yes, we'd love to have her come. And so we had her that day in our church, and she shared about being a young girl in her and in their home. They had invited a young lady named Betty Scott to have dinner with them. Betty Scott, now Elizabeth Elliot at the time was just a little girl. Betty Scott was headed to China to marry John Stamm, who was a missionary in China. Elizabeth Elliot says that, "I was a little girl and I remember meeting Betty Scott, who became Betty Scott Stamm as a little girl." She said, "4 years later, my dad came home with a copy of a newspaper, and John Stamm and Betty Scott Stamm had been attacked in China. They had been tied up with ropes and drugged through the streets, and they had been killed and slain in China." Elizabeth Elliot said before our church that morning in 1998, she said, "At that moment in my life, I realized what discipleship was all about. It was following Jesus Christ, whatever the cost." That day, we had her in our home, and Kelly had invited our babysitter to be with us that day because she was a teenager who was interested in missions. I'm sorry I get worked up when I think about this. She had been on some mission trips, and she knew it would be nice to have her meet someone who was such a hero in the faith. When Amy shared her interest in missions, Elizabeth Elliot looked to her husband and said, "If you will go, we will pay for it." Amy was in shock. She thought to herself, "Wow, you mean I could actually go? It's been my dream to be able to go." And that day, a spark was begun in Amy. That the ripple effect of is being demonstrated even this day, because Amy ended up marrying a young man, Josh, whose passion was for foreign missions as well. And this very day, this very morning, although it's not morning there, they are in Zambia planting churches, and they are involved in missions. Betty Scott had written a poem, and in that poem, she basically said this. She said, "All that I am, all that I have, all that I ever hope to be, I now and forever submit to you, Lord Jesus. Do with me what thou wilt. Take me wherever thou wilt. And do with me whatever you want to." And then she closed it with this phrase. And this is the one that gets me. "Whatever the cost." Do with me what thou wilt, whatever the cost. I pray that we would have a passion for God's worldwide enterprise. Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world, red and yellow, black and white. They are precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our heads bowed and our eyes closed. You may be here today without Christ. And if you are, God loves you just the way you are. And he wants to change your life. He wants to come into your heart and life and make a difference. And if you need to give your heart and life to Christ, our musicians are going to lead us in a time of invitation, in a song of invitation. And in just a moment, we'll stand and we'll sing together. And if you need Jesus Christ in your life, I want to encourage you to come forward, and someone will take a Bible and share with you how you can meet Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. That happened to me at age 17. I wouldn't take anything in the world for it. If there's some other decision you feel the Lord leading you to make, I invite you to make that decision as well. You may be here and you may know that God is calling you to become a part of our church fellowship here at North Central. If that's you, then I invite you to come. You know, there just may be somebody here that God is speaking to about missions. You may not even know totally what it means, but you know that God is placing upon your heart a burden to get the gospel to the world. If you'd like to come and have someone pray with you about that, I invite you to come as well. Our Heavenly Father, we love you and praise you. We pray that you would do in this invitation what only you can do. We ask you, Lord, to break our hearts for a lost world. And as we think about the blessings that we have as families and as a church, fellowshipping one with another, loving one another, the blessings that we have, Lord, I pray that you'd put a burden on us to be a part of missions around the world through our praying, through our giving, and through our going. Because, Lord, we know that's your heart. I pray that you'd help us to be obedient to you, whatever the cost. In Jesus' name, without saying amen, would you stand with me? And as Brother Michael and our musicians lead us, if God is speaking to your heart, would you come right now as we sing?
Thanks for letting this small part of North Central Baptist Church experience stream into your life. We hope you will visit us soon and become part of the family of North Central Baptist Church, reflecting Christ's light on Gainesville and the world.